Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
Me to speak a couple of weeks ago, and said they were going to go visit their children and their grandchildren, and from that point I was, just asking God what He wanted me to speak on, and I thought that I had kind of narrowed it down before we went to youth camp. If you guys don't know, we took a group from the youth group to youth camp last week. And I'm gonna be sharing some things that happened in that, but just know I learned a valuable lesson, and that's that I'm getting older. But as I was at youth camp, and God showed up in some amazing ways and did some incredible things that we as leaders had been crying out to God for. And before we left, I had decided that I was going to do a series on the Gospel of John for the youth group. But in the midst of the week, God kind of shifted me and said, no, I want you to do a different series. I want you to go a different direction. And then as I was praying about what to speak on this morning, I felt like God was saying that I needed to start that same message here. And so what my message is titled this morning is, there's more to the picture. There's more to the picture. There's more to this life than what we think we see. And because this is a youth message, I guess you could say, I don't want you to think that it's just for the youth, right? So I want everybody to be paying attention, okay? Also, I preach better when you say things like amen, because then I know that it's coming across. Because I second guess myself and I think, does this even make sense? I am so crazy. This morning, I've got a couple of points that I want to touch on. The first is that we live in two worlds. We live in two worlds. Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him." So scripture tells us that there are two worlds that we live in. There is the physical world that we see, the physical things around us, and there is a spiritual world, the invisible world. And I think a lot of times we have, there's kind of this separation where we go, oh, I don't know if I really believe that. I don't really know if I believe in earth, and I may even believe in God, but I don't know if there's really a spiritual world that we live in. Whether you believe it or not, it's there, right? Like, I can believe with all of my heart that if I eat an entire pie, there's no calories in it. But whether I believe it or not, fact is still fact. And whether you believe that there is a spiritual world and there are spiritual workings going on, it is there whether you believe it or not. And this story that we're looking at, it begins with two individuals who are stuck between these two worlds. Edmund and Lucy in previous stories had gone to Narnia and had been involved with what was going on. And now they were back in the physical world, or back in, kind of reality. And all that they were longing for, all that they were wanting was to get back. They had gotten a taste of this, of that world. They knew what it was all about. They knew that they had a purpose, and all that they were doing, everything that they were looking at. If you notice, she was like, hey, doesn't that picture look a little Narnian to you? Hey, doesn't that remind you of? They knew that the reality that they were living in was not all that there was. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. See, some of us, because we don't understand that there is both a physical earthly world and a heavenly world and a heavenly places and a spiritual world, we have issues in our lives. We have things that we try to deal with that we can never solve. They just seem to be this reciprocal issue that keeps going on and on and on. And we find ourselves saying, when is this ever going to end? When am I ever going to find the end to this problem, to this situation? I've tried everything that I know how to do. I've been to every class. I've read every book. I've been to every pastor I can think of. But it never seems to be enough. The problem is that we are defeated when we don't recognize the spiritual forces at hand. When we don't recognize that there are spiritual things attacking us, there are spiritual forces attacking us, we're defeated already. We could have the most willpower in the world, we could have the most intellect in the world, but none of that can fight spiritual forces. Now, I want to pause there for a second because there's people that don't recognize the spirit at work, but then there are also those who blame Satan for everything that happens, right? I'm going to be honest. A couple of weeks ago, I was going to a camp meeting in Pasco, and I got a speeding ticket. I know. Okay, that was not Satan. Even though I was going to go worship God, Satan wasn't like, ha, ha, ha. No, that was because I was stupid and made a bad choice, right? I was at fault for that ticket. I was the one who pushed the gas pedal. There was no little demon going, ah. You know, it wasn't like one of those situations. It was me. I made that choice. And so sometimes in our lives, we have issues, we have problems, we have consequences, and that's just because we make bad choices. And so we need to be cognizant of, okay, is that because I did something? Hey, if I eat the entire pie, even if I believe that there are no calories, and then I get fat, those consequences. That's what happens. That's not Satan. But when there are things that are beyond our control and they're not consequences for what we're doing, except that we're serving God and seeking God in a deeper way, and then all of a sudden some things start to happen in our lives and it's not because of any choices that we did except for to follow God, yeah, Satan's at work. We need to be able to recognize the difference of those things. But more importantly, we need to understand that there are two worlds that we're living in. So, first point, there are two worlds that we're living in. Second point, there are two types of people in these worlds we're living in. There are two types of people. Not saved and unsaved. I would argue that the two types of people are those who know Holy Spirit and operate within him and those who don't. And those who don't would be carnal minded. Because, come on, let's be honest. Some of us have come to Jesus. We accepted Christ. We got saved. But we were still living carnally. We were still in our mind thinking about things, thinking about materials, thinking about all of these things that are carnal. And Jesus in the word said that you shall go and wait because I'm sending you a helper. Why would he send us a helper if we didn't need it? Why would he say, go and wait, 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 because I'm sending you something that you need. You need this. Because eventually, if you don't have the Holy Spirit working inside of you, that carnal nature is going to come out. That carnal nature is going to take over. And all of your best intentions are going to be for naught. So that's why I say there's two people. Those who know Holy Spirit and work with him, and those who are carnal in nature. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11 says, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. And all these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. Verse 7 states that the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is for the common good. Edmund and Lucy in our video were stuck between these two worlds. They knew that Narnia existed. They had experienced that, but they were kind of stuck in this physical realm of this reality world, and they were waiting. Just waiting to be called back, waiting for their life to matter. But I don't know if you recognize the first part of this clip. Edmund was standing in line trying to be drafted, trying to be enlisted into the army because the world was at war. And when he was denied, he was frustrated. And he came to Lucy and he said, this is ridiculous. I'm a king. I rule in Narnia. I have all of this stuff in Narnia. And she says, yeah, but not here. But what he was trying to do is he was trying to get a cheap imitation of his calling. And some of us, we're living in this world, and God has called us to bigger and better and greater things in his heavenly places, in his kingdom. He's given us power to move mountains. He has given us power to heal. He has given us miraculous things, and yet we are settling for cheap imitations. Cheap imitations. Oh, I'll just go and I'll go to church and I'll sing the songs and I might even go to a study now and then. And I'll think that that's enough. Or I'll go into a worship service and maybe it was one of those powerful ones, and I get the little Holy Ghost goosies. And I think that's going to be enough. Oh, if I can just get a little goosebumps, if I can just see other people getting blessed, if I can just witness this, if I can just kind of see it, then that's going to be enough to get me to the next place. Come on, we're not supposed to be living paycheck to paycheck in the spiritual realm. We're not supposed to be living off of somebody else's miracle. Oh, that was cool. Let me go over here. Oh, that was great. I heard Holy Spirit's moving over here. Oh, something over there. Come on, those are cheap imitations. God has called us to live in power and in might, not from one experience to the next experience to the next experience. He says, I've got that for you all the time. But are you willing to wait for the real thing? Those who know Holy Spirit, those who have experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, are always waiting for his movement. Once you experience the Holy Spirit, you become addicted to that movement. When you don't feel the Holy Spirit moving, when you don't see him guiding you, there becomes a dryness, a longing, and that's where it can be tempting to go try to find, we call them fire chasers. I'm going to chase the fire around, trying to see what the Holy Spirit is doing. Instead of realizing that the Holy Spirit is trying to do something inside of us, if we will just wait on him, if we will just look for him, if we will just do what he has called us to do, he says, I will build that within you. But we have to wait. Waiting is hard. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, waiting is hard. Now, like you mean it, because we know. Think about the last time you were at Safeway in Toppenish. Although I heard it's better now, but waiting is hard. I just came back from camp. And we had to wait in line for every meal. Waiting is hard. Because you're standing out there and you can smell the bacon in the morning. You hadn't eaten since way before. And you're trying to be polite because, you know, everybody's standing in line. And you just, there's something inside. You just want to push them out of the way. Just hip check, make friends with the person at the front of the line, do something. Waiting is hard. Waiting is hard when there's expectation for what's coming. See, some of you have been waiting for years and it's not a big deal. Well, I've been waiting for 35 years for God to use me, and it's okay, I'm still waiting. I would say it's easy for you to wait because you don't have an expectation, you don't have a taste of what God is calling you to do. Because if you really believe that God had a calling for your life, if you really believe that God was going to use you to reach this world, waiting would be hard. Waiting is hard. Those in the spirit and those who are carnal will always be at odds. There's always going to be a disconnect. I have this secret love for Eustace. Right? Like he's just annoying. Eustace from the video. He's just annoying. But you kind of secretly love him a little bit. I think it's because we can all relate in some ways to him. But what I love about this is water starts pouring out of a picture. He pulls it off the wall. It starts filling up the bedroom. They're drowning. His head comes above water. He is drowning, and he still refuses to admit that there is something beyond what he already understands and what he already recognizes, right? His head pops out of the water, and he's asking for British Council. He's demanding where he is. He says, I need to wake up right now. This is ridiculous. I'm not going to believe this. I'm not going to accept this, and he is drowning. And some of us, when the Holy Spirit is moving, we plant our feet in and say, this doesn't make sense. This doesn't look right. This is a little bit risky. This isn't what church is supposed to be like. It's supposed to be nice and calm. The pastor isn't supposed to be up there yelling into the microphone. He's supposed to be standing in one place and reading out of the scripture. This doesn't make any sense to me. Why are people laid out in the altar? Why are people speaking in this crazy language? Who taught them how to do that? I loved youth camp because we had teens that had never experienced a movement of the Holy Spirit. And what began to happen as we were praying and as we were worshiping, God began to let loose. And as we were praying for kids, they got baptized in the Holy Spirit. They started speaking in tongues. Some of them didn't even know what it was. First time I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, I had no idea that such a thing even existed. And I think God knew that because he knows I overthink things, right? So he's like, you're gonna make a mess of this, so let me just give this to you right now, because otherwise it'll never happen. You're just too smart. Kids who didn't even know that the Holy Spirit existed, speaking in tongues. And I already know some are thinking, oh, well, that's just emotionalism, or they were just copying somebody. You want to know how I know that this was real? One of the students from our youth group that was sent without any money. Here's the thing, guys. Just check this out. God told me to just let anybody go that wanted to go. So the youth group is broke. I apologize. We're in the hole. But I don't apologize. Not one bit, because God told me to do it. And second, one of those kids that wasn't going to be able to go because there wasn't money. Come on, God's got all the money he needs. He went. He was in the altar. He began speaking in tongues. I prayed for him, and check out. He was speaking in tongues, gets slain in the spirit. His head bounces off the stage. Right? He's, you know, speaking in tongues, goes back, head bounces off the stage, doesn't miss a beat. His eyes don't open. He doesn't grunt. He doesn't look around. He's still lost in the spirit. 2 hours later, he gets up and goes, "How? What happened?" I'm like, "Dude, your head just went ba-dung." Kids getting slain over folding metal chairs. That's not supposed to happen. That doesn't make any sense. No, it doesn't. But if we can get to the place where we stop trying to put God into a box and expect what we think church service should look like. Come on, the book of Acts says that they all thought they were drunk. They were so lost in the spirit, they thought they were drunk. Could you imagine if our services were filled with people that we had to go, "Holy Spirit or Jose Cuervo?" I don't know. They walked in kind of normal, but flames of fire. What if we were so on fire with the Holy Spirit that literally there were tongues of fire? People are calling the fire department saying, "The church is on fire. You need to come right now." They come in with their hoses. They get laid out. But here's the thing. Eustace, Edmund, Lucy, they wanted different things. Eustace wanted security in what he knew, what made sense to him, what was logical. Edmund and Lucy wanted none of that. They wanted what they had experienced, what they had been a part of, and they knew was so much greater than what they were living in this point. Edmund and Lucy, they were in conflict with Eustace. They were fighting. The word says that iron sharpens iron. Those who are in the spirit, they're going to sharpen one another. Oh, man, you don't want to do that. I don't think Holy Spirit's going to like that. I don't think God's going to like that. Let's go ahead and take that part off. They get sharp. They get better. They grow in their Christianity. They get more precise. They learn how to press in. They learn how to worship even when there's nothing to worship about. Just because they know how good God is, they sharpen each other. But in comes Eustace, and he's carnal. So you get flesh and flesh, they don't sharpen each other. They chafe. They chafe. That's why you can have a church filled of spirit-filled people, and they can get along, and they can worship God, and God can be in the midst of their presence because there is no arguing. It says they were in one accord in the book of Acts. They were how many hundreds of people in one accord? One thought, one mindset. They weren't worried about what worship song was being sung. They didn't care what color the walls were. They didn't care whether or not there was the good toilet paper in the bathroom. They wanted one thing and one thing only. But over here, oh, I've got some issues. I've got some problems. I really need to meet with pastor about this because this is just ridiculous. Chafing. Oh, but then guess what? What happened when Eustace came over from carnal side and he starts hanging out with the spirit side? It cuts. That sharpened blade, when it comes into contact with the carnal nature, it cuts and it hurts. And what you saw in Eustace, we see all the time in the church, is people coming into contact with those who know the Holy Spirit and who are operating in the Holy Spirit, and they go, ow, that hurt. It's like, sorry, man, you become iron then. That's all I can say. Oh, you are judging me. I wasn't judging you. I was worshiping God. I was telling you the truth. I wasn't judging you. Yeah, but it hurt. Well, Acts 2:17 through 18, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy. Every time I hear that verse, they focus on, oh, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. So many people put the focus on the fact that the kids are going to be doing these things. And that's great, and I believe, that God has started a revival. I really believe that. But there's other parts to this verse where they hit everybody. It says, in the last days, all of you will begin to understand the Holy Spirit moving. All of you will begin to have dreams and visions, and there will be prophecies. Everybody, doesn't matter what status you're in, it doesn't matter where you're at, if you seek the Holy Spirit, he says, in these last days, it will come to pass. What I love about that movement at youth camp, those teens, and this is on me. This is on me. Those teens didn't know how to press in. Those teens didn't know how to worship in spite of problems, in spite of things not going perfect. Because if we're honest enough with each other, is when we become Christians long enough, we think we need to stop talking about the problems in our lives because we think that somehow discredits God. Well, I can't tell them that I'm dealing with this sin. I'm the pastor. I can't tell them that I'm having problems with faith in this area of my life. I'm the pastor. I'm supposed to be the leader. I'm the usher. I lead the Bible study. I can't tell them the truth. But God broke all of that down. He called every single leader at camp up. He said, begin to worship, begin to pray. As they were calling out issues and circumstances and things that we were dealing with, and we had to press through, we had to worship through that. What that did is it told the teens, doesn't matter where you're at, doesn't matter what you're dealing with, you need to worship God in spite of it. You need to seek God in spite of it. You need to lay it down in the altar right there in spite of it. And it started with the leaders. I'm looking around this room and I see leaders in the church. I see seasoned Christians. I'm going to step on some toes, but I don't care. I believe the reason we're not seeing more of an outpouring of the Holy Spirit is because some of our seasoned Christians are stifling the move of the Holy Spirit because they're worried about what it's going to look like, because they're worried about what it's going to sound like, because they're worried about who is going to be involved with it. Jesus used some pretty messed up people. He called some pretty low-life people. And if we ever get to the point where we think that God can't use somebody, you can begin to watch that calling and that vision die within you. It's So are we going to allow the Holy Spirit to grow, or are we going to stifle it? And finally, our calling is found in the spiritual realm. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." We are called to live in the spiritual realm. Yes, we are called here. Yes, we are here on earth. But we're not supposed to get mixed up in all of this stuff. I understand tomorrow is the 4th of July, and I love America. I love America. I love what America does for us. I love the freedoms that I have. Yes, yeah, she's a little sick right now. You know, we've got an election coming up. I think we should just not have any, you know, presidents. It's like when you break up with somebody and you need a break for a little bit just to find yourself. That's what we need. America needs to find herself again. But we're not called for this. Right? Some of you may have come expecting a 4th of July message and you were ready to, you know, talk about freedom. This is freedom. This is freedom. When you begin to live in the spiritual realm, that's freedom. When you begin to see that the earthly things don't matter, and you're like, whatever, whatever. That crazy person's president, whatever. Because I know what really matters. I know what really determines how my life is going to go, and that's in the spiritual realm. Your position on earth does not dictate your position in the kingdom. Your position on earth does not dictate your position in the kingdom. Sometimes we want to think that those who are more intelligent or those who have more natural giftings are the ones who are going to be used in the kingdom of God in mighty ways. And we see people who are talented and we think, man, God can really use you. And then we see that weird, you know, that weird kid in the corner. He's got like snot coming out of his nose, hasn't showered in weeks. His position on earth does not dictate his position in the kingdom. And I've seen those weird kids get a hold of God, get a hold of the Holy Spirit, and you can't stop them. And they do some crazy things for God. Those are the ones that go on mission trips and come back and tell you about the thousands of people that found Christ. Meanwhile, that cool kid's like, yeah, well, I got a new car, so... You operating in the spirit affects those around you. I was at camp this week, and I sometimes do irresponsible things. Hence, ticket, you know. But I was put in charge of the water slide, which was a bad choice on their part, but. So when our kids came, you know, they'd be like getting ready and I'd walk by and I'd give them a little hip check and they'd go down not being ready. Those kind of things, you know. So I thought I would be nice and help this girl because there was mats. And this water slide, if you've never seen it, it's tall. It's like really big and you could get going pretty fast. So they had these mats that you could sit on and she wanted to sit on the mat backwards and push herself back. I thought, that's pretty cool. You might get going fast. That'd be cool to watch. So I was like, okay, get down. And so I step onto the slide, which I had done a couple of times to help kids, you know, get into position. And I step down and I'm helping her and she's, you know, she's turning around. And I stepped on the mat. And gravity came. And as I was, I knew, you know that moment you know you're going down, but it takes you like 10 seconds. You're like, no, but there's nothing you can do about it. I tried to do something about it. I tried to take this like 13-year-old girl and make her into a pillar. So I'm going down and I reach out and I grab her arm and I need her to be like 500 pounds in like a cement stone footing. It's not, no, she was like 100 pounds. I try to grab onto her. She screams. And down we went. Shoosh. That girl had no idea that by asking me for help, she was going to end up where she ended up. Because here's the thing. I don't know if you know how gravity works, but when you're a bigger person, you go faster. And when you go faster down, you go longer out. So I grab her arm, trying to keep myself from falling. I pull her down. We're screaming all the way down, and we stop at the end of the water slide. There's like a little ramp. We almost hit this ramp and go into the grass. And she goes, "I've never gotten this far before." Welcome. Welcome to the Fat Kid Club. We make it to the end. She couldn't have got there on her own. There was no way. Eustace was around Edmund and Lucy. As much as he didn't like them, you notice he was hanging around? You know, he thought they were dumb. He was making fun of them. He didn't like what they were, but he stuck around them. He was hanging. There was something that kept him glued to them. He didn't choose to go to Narnia. He was fighting it. He resisted it. He was screaming. He was angry. He didn't know what was happening, but all of a sudden he woke up into a new reality. Church, I think it's time that we stop being afraid of the Holy Spirit. We stop being afraid of people knowing that we operate in the Spirit and that we use that Spirit, because I believe that when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, there is an attraction to you. There is something that people just want to, they just want to hang out with you. They just want to know who you are because you are representing God and people want to know God. And I believe that as we begin to use the Holy Spirit, not just in church service, not just in the privacy of our own homes, but as we live life in the spiritual realm, that there are going to be those around us who don't believe. But remember, we already decided it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not, it's true. They don't believe, they don't want it, but all of a sudden they're going to wake up with their head bounced off of the stage and go, ow. There's going to be people that are going to be around you that all of a sudden they're going to wake up in a few minutes and go, whoa, God, that was God. I can't fight that. Whoa, I thought that was weird, but I know what I know. I felt what I felt, and that was God. The Holy Spirit will pull them in. It's not anything you're going to have to say or do, but when you live in that spiritual realm, the Holy Spirit will just do it naturally. I'm going to conclude. If we can get somebody to play the piano. Remember, there's more to the picture. There's more to what we see. We cannot forget that there is both a physical and a spiritual world. The Holy Spirit helps us and guides us on our spiritual journey. We need Him. We need to operate within Him. He is what helps us draw closer to God and get that victory in areas of our lives that we've been battling for so long. And finally, we are called to be spiritual beings and not carnal. everybody will stand, close their eyes. God, I thank you for this morning, and I thank you, God, for the laughs that we had. God, I thank you for the worship that we were able to give you, the fellowship that we were able to experience. But God, I stand before you now, God, and I repent of those times where I hid your spirit within me. God, I repent of those times that I chose the physical world. I chose carnal things over the moving of your spirit. And God, I pray for every heart that's in here that it would be softened to your touch. That they would be open to the moving of your spirit in here, God, but also out in the world. God, let us be spiritual beings in a physical world. God, as we do that, I am believing for miracles. I am believing for healings. I am believing for those who were hardened against you, who refuse to get to know you, to speak to you, to come to church. God, that those would be the ones who you would melt. God, I am believing for a revival, but God, it's not going to start anywhere but within us. Pressing in, God, worshiping in spite of. Worshiping in spite of our hindrances, our failures, our circumstances. God, I pray that you would send your Holy Spirit new and fresh on this congregation this morning. Strengthen them for what you are calling them to do. God, no more cheap imitations. No more cheap imitations of you moving and of you doing miracles, but God, that we would have the real thing. A real encounter with you, a real calling with you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.